Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham, and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true quantum leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less drama and stress. So let's start making magic. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Create Magic at Work. Today, I am super excited because I have a special guest from Soul Insight Coaching, Sayida. She is the founder of Soul Insight, and she brings her experience in strategic planning, operational leadership, program development, and client engagement. But guess what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about relationships. And before you turn this off because you think this is a leadership and business podcast, I want to remind you that our entire lives are about relationships, especially at work and at home, and how we can use those relationships to elevate us to the highest level possible and to learn and grow. I asked Sayida to join us today because really the theme of season three that's emerging for everyone, in addition to quantum leadership, is relationships. One of Create Magic at Work's most popular episodes was from season one, does venting about work to your partner ruin your relationship? Everybody loved listening to that and wanted to hear all of the insights from that. So you'll see throughout season three, I have special guests come on that have these beautiful insights and inner wisdom that can help you have a better personal life, better personal relationships. And that energy is going to flow into your work relationships and into your work life. Sayida, welcome to Create Magic at Work.
Thank you, Amy. It is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to share, you know, some of the insights that I have gained doing this work. I'm very excited to be here with you today.
I know what we're going to talk about, so that's why I'm so excited. Can you share a little bit more about yourself with the listeners?
Absolutely. So I actually started off in education, and I was in education for almost 20 years, and then I moved into public health service. And from there, I decided that, you know, I wanted to figure out what my next steps were. So I hired an executive coach, and he was such an amazing coach that shortly after we started working together, I realized that I actually wanted to do exactly what he was doing. I wanted to help people, you know, figure out what their next steps were on their journey. And so I decided to become an executive coach myself. And, you know, I have to say it was definitely a transformative experience and continues to be. And I truly, truly enjoy this work.
Yeah, it's definitely satisfying work. And it's amazing the people that we attract to help. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being here. So I want to first start off with a story from my past experience in the corporate world as an executive. And one of the main reasons I felt called to have you on and discuss is I worked many, many years, over 20 years, probably more. And I witnessed a lot of, I hesitate to use the word failed, but I witnessed a lot of personal relationships with my coworkers deteriorate due to their commitment, let's say, to the job. And so I want to start off with talking about that. What do you see when you're working with clients that leads to that? That leads to that deterioration of the relationship if there's an overcommitment to the job or to the work?
Yeah, great question. You know, in this day and age, you know, we have the privilege, and it truly is a privilege to choose career paths in many instances that are aligned with what we believe our purposes or our passions are. And unfortunately, many times we are misaligned. So we have not had the opportunity to take advantage of this privilege of being aligned with the work that is purposeful for us, meaningful for us. And with so many competing interests at play in many workplaces, we find ourselves experiencing things like burnout, resentment, and also, you know, in some ways, an unhealthy competitive nature with our coworkers and our peers. And that all can create a dynamic at work that basically causes people to either want to fight or flight, right? To want to flee the situation or engage in a tension with the people around them.
So one of the things that intrigued me was one of your, I guess we would call pillars or mission, is to share that people need to commit to making an effort in all of their partnerships. And I think that goes along with who you are at home and who you are at work with who you're working at, with who you're working with, excuse me. Yeah. So people need to commit to making an effort. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, oftentimes we kind of get in this space, and I'll say that it can be a dark space, and we, you know, have a hard time identifying or getting some clarity of mind in terms of how can I take a step forward without feeling like I'm taking two steps back and pull myself or move myself into another, you know, condition, another predicament, another situation. And so really, I think it starts with being truthful with oneself about, you know, where you're at, what you're feeling, you know, having that, activating that sense of self-awareness and self-reflection so that you can at least identify what is my starting point. And once you're operating in truth, then it's really important for you to exercise compassion towards yourself and empathy towards yourself, and not to the point where you, you know, feel helpless, but to the point where you give yourself some grace and allow yourself to seek out or ask for support for you to take action and empower yourself to move forward. So I think, you know, when you start there, then you can extend those principles and those mindsets to other people around you. I know that none of us are perfect, but I have this analogy that I use that involves a mirror. So, you know, if we can look at our relationships as if, you know, we are both mirroring, or we are both mirrors for each other, it's so important for us to take care of ourselves. And it's so important for others to take care of themselves first, because what it allows you to do is when you're receiving information, it allows you not to distort the information. So in other words, you want your mirror to be clean and clear. You don't want your mirror to be cracked and cloudy. That way, when you're receiving information from another person, whether it's a close colleague, whether it's your boss, whether it's your partner, you can receive that without distorting it. And you can take what you need to take from that information and really utilize it to grow and to evolve. Likewise, your partner or your boss or your coworker or your friend can trust that when they are coming to you, that you are reflecting back to them information that is not distorted by your quote unquote cracks or cloudiness that you haven't addressed. So that's why kind of this principle of self-care is so important, because it is not just to benefit you, right? It's to benefit others that you're in relationship with, that you're connecting with. And we know that, you know, some of our most intimate relationships, whether that's at work or whether that's at home, are truly there as teachers, right? They're there to reflect back areas that we still need to grow and develop in.
You just have me thinking of another episode I did with Brian McCormick. He was talking about, before I have a conversation with someone, I make sure my side of the street is clean. That was his analogy.
Yes.
And I love your mirror too, the mirror analogy. If I'm operating in at work, at home, and I'm reflecting back to others, let me make sure my mirror is clean. And then that's where the self-care comes in. And it doesn't, I think sometimes self-care can be misconstrued at times. I think we've had this conversation before, and I'm glad we're getting into it, because there's sort of a culture, especially on social media, on Instagram, with all the spirituality and the different things that I follow, that really promote self-care. But what I'm finding is at times people can misconstrue self-care for selfishness, or they start becoming a little more selfish. What are your thoughts on that? Have you seen that? Do you have a take on that?
Definitely. You know, we are all meant to be interconnected, right? We're not. So that means not necessarily dependent on each other, not so independent that, you know, we feel that we can live on an island by ourselves, but we are meant to be interdependent. And so what that means is that I can hold my sense of self and have a connection with someone else in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. And when self-care goes too far is when it loses the part that points to connecting with someone else. So it loses part of the puzzle. And that part of the puzzle is connection with someone else. So whether that is, you know, your pet or your spouse.
Yeah, I think I want to add to that, because what I'm thinking as you're speaking is when self-care, I said when self-care becomes selfish, but you're hitting on this spiritual intelligence skill of understanding the interconnectedness of life, and that we are here, like you said, not to be dependent, but interdependent on others. And it was just hitting me like, oh, when self-care becomes detached or in a negative way.
Yes.
And I've been around people, no blame, no judgment. However, I've seen individuals that have really gotten into this meditation, inner work, all of those things that are kind of in the consciousness right now. And then they can't handle situations that arise that might be conflict or not feeling that zened out peace feeling. To your point, we're all here on the planet and we're here to connect. We're learning these skills so we can help each other elevate. And I really think you're onto something huge with talking about the interdependence that we need for each other, especially at work. And to be mindful that, yes, self-care is great, whatever works for you to help you feel recharged, energized, plugged in, tapped in. However, it's always good to check in and say, is this causing a disconnect from other humans in a way that I'm not being interdependent or understanding the interconnectedness of life? Like, am I almost like checking out here is what I'm getting?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's, you know, the whole purpose of us making sure our side of the street is clean and making sure our mirror is clear and clean without cracks, so to speak, or addressing those cracks as we become aware of them. The whole point, the whole intent of self-care is so that when you're exercised in your interdependence with another person, you are coming from your higher self and you're able to, you know, operate on that level instead of operating from your lower self, right? And it's an exercise. So it's not always going to be perfect, but you put yourself in the best position possible when you take care of yourself first.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. I just had a hit. Like, I think this is just such an important conversation, because when you say the self-care allows you to operate from your higher self, from your inner wisdom, from that place that comes from wisdom and compassion, when you are in a space that feels like conflict, when you are in under great stress, in the eye of the storm, I stand serene.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is why. So you can be in these situations, not so you can't anymore because they're just too much for you and you can't handle it. That's when self-care becomes selfish, right? Gosh,
exactly.
What a cool way to frame that and talk about that. I want to ask you some more questions on something else, because I see leaders in the workplace and I have a hunch. I have a friend. No, I'm just kidding. I have a hunch that this spills over into people's personal lives as well, where they overdo and they feel depleted. I mean, we've talked about this one side where, you know, hey, when self-care becomes selfish. But I also have a lot of clients that have to work on boundary setting because they're depleting their energy in overdoing and overgiving. And I suspect that that can trickle into their personal relationships as well. So what is your advice or take on that?
Are you a passionate, high-achieving executive at the director level or above who feels like you've lost yourself? Are you feeling called to go to the next level of your leadership? Could you benefit from going beyond EQ and deepening your spiritual intelligence so you can solve your everyday problems to make better decisions for yourself and your team while maintaining inner peace? I can help you tap into your own inner magic and elevate your leadership in my private one-on-one coaching program. To apply to work with me, click Work with Amy in the show notes or go to createmagicatwork.net and click Work with Me. I look forward to seeing you.
Yes, Amy, that's such a great point. In a way, the person who we identified how self-care becomes selfish, but in that same vein, a lack of self-care also is selfish. So it's very important. It's almost our responsibility that if we have the ability to take care of ourselves, that we do. And so when you have individuals in the workplace or even individuals within their partnerships or within their families doing this overextending of themselves, not taking care of themselves, there are consequences to that. There is kind of a wrath of energy that is transferred when that person kind of quote unquote goes down, you know, whether it's with burnout or resentment and anger from overextending. And so I would say that it's definitely a responsibility. You know, like I said, if you're capable and you have the ability to take care of yourself, and like you said, hold those boundaries, learn to exercise those boundaries, because oftentimes we'll set boundaries and then sometimes we sabotage our own boundaries. So learning to create boundaries, hold boundaries, you know, be exercised with those boundaries, right? It's really easy if you create a boundary and you set a boundary and you don't have to exercise that boundary because you stay around like-minded people who all just naturally respect your boundary. It's another thing when you're in a situation where you're actually challenged and, you know, being solid enough within yourself and feeling grounded enough within yourself to hold those boundaries and keep those boundaries even when exercised, you know, is really, really an important part of self-care. And in the end, so to speak, you actually will manifest healthier relationships. And, you know, it may be difficult, but the positivity that comes out of that is usually, you know, quite rewarding.
I think you really hit a nerve with saying that not taking care of yourself can be selfish as well. My first thought was, oh yeah, martyrdom.
Yeah.
And like killing yourself for something, right? For a cause, for someone else. And I think it's important that we point out the energy imbalance that happens when you do that. If you're overdoing, if you're overworking, if you're overdoing in your personal relationship, in any relationship, sometimes the partnerships or the partner will start underdoing to balance that energy. And then you're way out of whack because then you're overcompensating. The person's underdoing because they're feeling this over energy. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
And you get stuck in, I almost want to call it an insanity loop until you pump the brakes and say, wait a minute, I need to take care of myself here. I'm overdoing. And then you can come back to balance. And it's interesting when you interact with other humans and see that. So you have to start, anybody listening, you know, leaders in the workplace, are you overworking to counterbalance somebody that's underperforming? And what actually would happen if you took care of yourself and maybe pumped the brakes on that? Just energetically think about it. Same thing in your personal relationships. Are you overgiving? Are you overdoing? And then by default, all of a sudden, someone starts slowly just being in a negative way the whole time, right? And then how do we bring that balance back? So on that note, with all of your insights, what is one way someone could maybe bring that balance back? If someone's overdoing, what's a tip that you would give them to bring back that balance of doing and being in partnership?
The first tip that I would give is to not go from one extreme to the other. So take small, you know, steps, make one shift, one adjustment, and see how that impacts the system, so to speak.
The energy system.
Yeah. I mean, it's very important to understand when you're dancing with someone and you've been dancing with someone a certain way for a period of time, they are also in the rhythm. And so if you just walk off the dance floor because you say, I've had enough, I'm not doing this anymore, I've done too much, I've been leading you in this dance and I can't do it anymore, you'd have no rhythm. You know, you walk off the dance floor, then the dance is over. There's nothing left. And in most situations, that's not what our desired outcome is. Our desired outcome is to bring more balance to the dance. And to bring more balance, you don't make extreme changes in the middle of the dance. You might lead a little less. You might take a step in a different direction, just a little bit, to cue the person that, oh, now I need to step here. Or now I need to step up in this way and I need to lead more or follow less, et cetera. So that would be my tip, to start with not making extreme changes, but look for little opportunities that you can create more balance. And maybe creating more balance comes from taking care of yourself. Maybe it comes from giving others opportunities to grow and to lead and to develop. So it's important to look at your individual situation, whether, you know, it's at home or whether it's at work, and say, what can I do to bring things in balance or in better balance? And take small steps first and watch the effects of the small steps first before you, you know, move forward into larger and more impactful changes.
I think that was, I've never heard that. With the dance and the micro adjustments, I think that was brilliant. And I got the chills when you were sharing it. So thank you. It's so important. It was such a great reminder that, like, hey, you don't just stop, because that's going to really throw things out of whack. And I love the dance analogy and the dance metaphor. I mean, that story will stick with me. So thank you for sharing that. Saida, I want to know, because all of these themes I'm so excited about in season 3, we're really combining business and life and how we leave our legacy today. And what does that mean? So yeah, I want to hear what quantum leadership means to you.
You know, as you mentioned before, I do executive coaching. And I also do, you know, group coaching and team coaching. I also do partner coaching. So business partners and actually also personal or romantic partners. And in all of these different areas, which pretty much cover both domains of work and home, quantum leadership is such an intricate part of both of these worlds, right? Being a co-creator of every moment is so important, and positioning yourself in a way that is in partnership, that's in interconnection and interdependence, and collaborating with others and looking at the impact of how you show up and who you are, as well as the impact that others have on you and how you can grow and develop and create from that space, is such an important part of, you know, the work that I do. So quantum leadership is something that I truly, truly believe in. I think that, you know, being able to be transparent about your belief systems and your goals and your ideas and work in collaboration or co-creating with someone else to influence the manifestation and the and influence making those things come to fruition is something that I hope, you know, we move deeper and closer to in, you know, the corporate world, as well as how we practice within the home, mm-hmm. our partnership.
Yeah, definitely. I love the theme that we've talked about, like this interdependence theme. It almost sounds scary to someone that is super independent.
Yeah.
Like me, maybe, no. But it sounds so, that is what quantum leadership to me is. It's that ripple effect that you send out to your communities and to humanity, and this whole interdependence theme and this awareness of the interconnectedness of life and what I do, you know, the butterfly effect, right? Or, you know, what I do, whatever, what decision I make today is going to ripple out for beyond time through infinity. It's so big. It's almost like hard to wrap your brain around it. But if we can just like scale it back down to this, what I do today matters, and I can send a small ripple effect, and that it's okay to be collaborative and to be interdependent with others. And it might look messy at times, but it's much better than isolation, I think, is what I would love to add to that. And I love that you coach partnerships and things like that. I think that's amazing, which is obviously why I invited you on the podcast. I am going to pull a journal prompt card from my journal prompt card deck. It's a deck of 33 cards that have different themes for your work and for your career. And I'm going to pull a message for you and all the listeners today from the universe that is meant for us and this conversation. So here we go. I'm shuffling the deck. Oh, wow. We got finances.
Inside.
I love it. Give me some good finances. The affirmation is, I make decisions with sound judgment and I attract good fortune. So for everybody listening, if you're not driving, just take a moment and close your eyes and just say, I make decisions with sound judgment and I attract good fortune. Saida, I'm going to ask you a question that's on the card. As a leader, how can people, or as leaders listening, how can people support those who are ready to help themselves?
I believe that as a leader, we do a lot of coaching. We do a lot of mentorship and a lot of advising. And it's important that we take the opportunity to do more coaching. And my approach to coaching is, you know, I have a heart and mind approach. My approach is that it's a self-guided, or it's a guided self-discovery, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And that means that I am not driving or pushing or directing anyone to go in one direction or the other, as I might do more of that when I'm consulting or I'm mentoring. Mm-hmm. And I believe that if leaders spend the time coaching, asking questions, replacing judgment with curiosity, finding out what the desired outcome is of their, you know, those that they've identified are ready, so to speak, that really they're supporting that person and helping them move in the direction that they want to go, that they've identified they want to go, the growth that they have identified they're ready for, and that they would like to embrace and evolve from.
Yep. And they'll do it in a much faster pace for you because it came from them within when you tap into that. So thank you for sharing that. Saida, how can people get a hold of you to learn more, to work with you? Where can they find you?
Yes. So my website is www.sol-insight.com. So www.soul-insight.com. And if you just fill out the contact page, I will get back in touch with you. And again, even if you just have questions just about the coaching experience, whether it's partner coaching, executive coaching, or even couples coaching, please feel free to reach out. I'm here for you and would love to continue the conversation.
Amazing. Yeah, I know that just from working with you, that you really feel blessed with spiritual insights around couples coaching, and you have a lot of beautiful themes to share there. So if anyone is interested in that and also managing your work-life energy balance that we talked about, I highly recommend reaching out to Saida, and we will put your website in the show notes. So if you're listening to the podcast, all you have to do is look in the show notes right now and you can click on Saida's website. Saida, thank you so much for being a guest on the Create Magic at Work podcast. I think we definitely sent some magic to the listeners today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey everyone, it's Amy here. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Create Magic at Work. And please come back often and subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Keep joining us for more exciting episodes where we help you transform workplace culture to systems that create less drama and stress and have high productivity and profitability. You can get your own tools for the workplace at createmagicatwork.net. I have a new Create Magic at Work, the journal that just released, and it invites you to reflect about different themes for work and your career. Each section of the journal contains a topic, an affirmation, and two prompt questions to help you journal your thoughts. Topics are like inspiring others, mentorship, expansion, and productivity. Connect with me at createmagicatwork.net. Also connect with me on LinkedIn under Amy Lynn Durham. Sending magic to everyone, and see you next time.